is A Career Adventure. I'm Nate Claiborne with another Jersey to Job podcast for life after the game for prospective, current, and former, and maybe even forgotten college student athletes. Today on episode 18, Daryl Stinson, who is the founder and curator of the Second Chance Athlete Program, as we'll hear from him very shortly. I met Daryl Stinson just in a connection that we both were part of an education training and had a post on the private Facebook page and was talking about his work with college student athletes. And he talked about his background as a student athlete that turned out to be relatively bleak as he went through his time at Central Michigan playing football at the highest level and even winning a championship in conference football. Had a great freshman year, ended up injured, didn't play his sophomore year, then comes back and plays his junior year, but plays his junior year through an injury after a back injury his sophomore year and surgeries and an addiction to painkillers and even an attempted suicide really changed the trajectory of his life and got him out of the game of football and had found a new calling, if you will, and a calling that became more spiritual than athletic. And he has crossed both those interests into his program and his format of Second Chance Athletes. As you hear from Daryl, you're going to find out how much passion he has for helping people that to avoid the conflict and issue that he ran into as a college student athlete and even becoming a former and forgotten college student athlete and the success he's having since then, since 2012 and 13, when his playing days were done, and finding a whole new life. And, you know, questions as he talks to people and helps them in his coaching and his speaking, and he'll mention in his upcoming book, he asks student athletes this question: how do I live the life of my dreams when sports was the life of my dreams? He asks student athletes, ask them of themselves, looking at life as being boring after sports. You know, that's what their identity is. This is what he is trying to help young people find their next step, find their passion for where they can go next. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to introduce you now to Daryl Stinson. He is a Second Chance Athlete. Jersey to Job podcast back on, and this will be a special treat for everybody as we get a chance to talk to Daryl Stinson. You may not know that name yet, but you're going to hear it now. You're going to hear it down in the future. He's a Second Chance Athlete, and that's really the theme as he's working through, I guess you'd say, the next evolution in your career and your life. And Daryl, we kind of randomly crossed paths going through some training and some education, and both seem to be working towards the same goal of trying to help future current and former, and as you say, former and forgotten student athletes.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we're trying to accomplish, man. And you know what? I just want to say thank you for all that you do working with student athletes. I always say this, man, there's millions of athletes who go in and out of sports every single day, every single year. And we need more people who understand the importance of preparing for life after sports.
So when we say who is Daryl Stinson, just like people say, who's Nate Claiborne? You know, let's get some background. You know, you grew up in Michigan, went to Central Michigan for college, 08 to 2012, but you were only in 23 games. There were some bumps along the way.
Yeah, there were a lot of bumps along the way. So, I mean, when people ask who I am, I say, most importantly, I'm a suicide survivor. You know, I played football at Central Michigan University. I had the opportunity to play with some great athletes there. Dan LeFever, number one draft pick, Eric Fisher, the best receiver in the league, who's on the Madden cover right now. I just found that out. Antonio Brown. These are the guys I played with. Butch Jones was my coach, who's now an analyst for Alabama. And so I'm a product of the people I surrounded myself with. I'm a champion. At Central Michigan University, we won a championship. And, you know, for me to get hurt my freshman year, have a back surgery, you know, I had this golden ticket to focus on my education. And, man, there's a lot of people that, you know, take that opportunity. You know, they get an injury, they have a full ride scholarship, and they just choose to focus on their academics and they make a great career. And I should have done that. But for me, sports wasn't what I did. It was who I was. And so I continued to play and drove myself crazy, drove my body straight into the ground. And it led me to a deep, dark depression when I finally just, my body physically couldn't take it anymore. And I had to be told to stop going into my senior year. So that was very devastating. And a lot of those games that I missed was because, you know, I was out with a back spasm here or some other side effect from my back surgery that I had.
So as you're looking at yourself in high school and you signed that letter of intent that February of 2008, going to Central Michigan, you know, talk about after that point and your next step mindset probably wasn't thinking that maybe necessarily during some of the playing season, but I'm going to the NFL after that. That had to be in your mind.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if I've talked to, and I work with a lot of high school athletes even now, and I'm like, raise your hand if you want to go play professional. You know, 99% of the room raises their hand. I think we all aspire to be a professional athlete. It's like the pinnacle. Like, if I'm going to do something, I want to be the best at it. So that's the mentality that I had. And I was 6'5" and huge and had a large frame, and I was fast. You know, I was all-state track athlete and, you know, had success in basketball and every other sport, just like many other athletes do. So absolutely, man, I wanted to go the long haul.
But as you get into it and you're playing, and that was your identity. You were a football player, and you were that guy that people saw on Saturdays, but they saw on campus as a football player, and maybe even didn't think of you as a student sometime, probably even.
Yeah, that's it. Just an athlete, man. And for me, the question in other people's eyes wasn't if I was going to go professional. It was just when.
Sure.
Right? And the only time they really started to question if was after my injury. And I was out to prove everybody, you know, right, that I did have the potential to go professional. And, you know, obviously that didn't work out too well for me.
So, you know, going through your website at Second Chance Athletes, you know, going through there and reading through your bio, and it really refreshing, you know, from the conversation we had a few months ago or earlier this year, you know, you talk in there about the two greatest days of your life are the day that you were born, the day that you figured out why you were born. Talk about that second part.
So everybody needs a why. I'm actually working on a blog post right now. It's actually targeted towards college administrators, and I try to advise them to teach athletes to figure out their why before we try to assign them to a degree or a major. So for me, it was at this, you know, going into my senior year, sports was over. I had to really start to assess my life. What career do I want to have that's not being a professional athlete? And I started to ask myself the tough questions. What do I want to do with my life? What am I passionate about? Why do I feel inspired when I do this? Why do I care so much about these type of people? And I really had to get to the core of the driving force behind everything that I do. And when I discovered what that was for me, it was so liberating. It helped guide all of my decisions. It gave me fulfillment. It gave me a sense of peace. It helped me to fall out of love with sports and in love with my current life. And so I highly encourage people, if they don't know their purpose, figure it out. If you got to take assessments, if you got to, you know, have therapy sessions, which I did, by the way, do whatever you need to do to discover your purpose. For some, Nate, that's a divine sense. And for others, it's just a driving force. So it may not have to do anything with faith. It may just be, you know, what Simon Sinek says is just the inspiration that motivates you to do what you do. So whatever it is, you got to find it. Because without it, life will be average.
What was that beacon that lit up the way of you, not necessarily, I guess that you say, falling somewhat out of love with sports, but finding your next love?
For me, the beacon was my faith, number one. Number two, it was other people's perspective of me, right? Because as an athlete, I couldn't see outside of the football field. I couldn't see outside of my ability to jump high and run fast. And when other people started to identify characteristics that they thought were great, oh, you're motivational, you're inspirational, you're a leader, I said, I am? And I started to listen to what they said. And listen, sometimes you have to believe in somebody else's belief in you before you can believe in yourself.
Were those people sports fans?
Some were, some weren't. You know, so one guy in particular, I'm just recalling a moment that was really defining for me. He was an elder at my church, and he was a state police officer. I don't even know if he liked sports or played sports a day in his life.
Right.
He was short, and he was a detective. And, man, he said, man, you are so inspirational. And funny thing, you know what he asked me? He said, what was your function when you were on the field? What were you accomplishing? What role did you play on the team? He's like, because the chances are you can still have that same role in society. It's just not with the avenue of sports anymore. And when he said that, I was like, you know what? I was a leader. I did lead workouts. I did lead sprints. So I know part of what my purpose is, my why is after sports is to be a leader. I was trying to inspire guys. So what can I do to inspire others now? And so how can I transfer those giftings to just a different arena?
Yeah, as you get in there, and I don't care if you're a student athlete or a non-student athlete. I think we all deal with that. Everybody deals with, you're trying to get that A or trying to pass that test or trying to win that game or win that championship or set that weightlifting record or whatever. But it's hard for people to translate that athletic or academic to personal or professional ability.
Yeah, it is, man. And you know what? Even though it's hard, there are still, and you know this, and feel free to chime in what you found through your career mapping experience, but there are employers who will hire people just because they're athletes. So even if you don't do the best job showcasing transferable skills, they're like, you played sports? Sweet. I know you got good work ethic. I know you're going to show up on time. I know, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. And so, I mean, there's a group of people who understand what it takes to play at an elite level, and they want people like that to on their team because those are skills that are hard to teach people. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was kind of the catalyst of Jersey to Job in the first place about almost 2 years ago now. Of, you know, when I would talk to employers or companies as an economic developer, and they can't find workers, they can find people, but they can't find workers. And you say, well, who are you looking for? And skill set aside, they want somebody who understands the schedule, understand and is trainable, is coachable, is dependable, can take on their role and go with it. I'm like, well, that's a student athlete. And the 10 years I spent as a college athletic administrator, and it collided with my time as an economic developer and supporting workforce. And I'm like, here we are, Jersey to Job, and come across student athletes that have bumped along the way and found some quarter life crisis. And then I collide into people like you that have identified it as well. And another one, and you can promote her a little bit too, a podcast you were recently on with Coach Jay.
Yeah.
She's trying to do the same work.
She is. And she's doing a great job. She actually just launched a book. I don't know if you saw that or not.
No, I haven't.
I couldn't tell you the name of it, but I know her podcast is Sets for Life. And I actually need to order her book. But yeah, she just came out with a book. And so she's in this space as well. Again, the more voices that you have speaking into your life, it's like we're creating a team after sports, right?
Right.
We're still creating that camaraderie, that support, that accountability. And that's important because we're used to that being an athlete. And when you don't have that after you're done with your career, man, you could feel like I'm just all alone and nobody cares about me. When that couldn't be further from the truth, you just got to find a group of people who can support you. You got to find your new team. So yeah, Joy is definitely one of those people.
So Sets for Life is a podcast. Find it on any sort of podcast app between iTunes or Google Play or any of those or Stitcher. Mm-hmm. But rewinding to you as a student athlete, and for those of you that are listening, we're trying to paint the picture, and whether you're a parent of a student athlete or a family member or a friend or are actually a incoming student athlete or current or former forgotten, it's quite a transitional difference when you look at probably everything that was provided to you, as a Division I athlete, and, you know, you aren't necessarily at a Power 5 school, but between meals and gear and travel and academic support and all this stuff that, you know, more or less is gifted to you as part of the package of being a student athlete, and then and also medical care and training and things like that. Mm-hmm. When they said you're done playing and you move on, God, talk about that.
It's crazy.
If you can, I don't want to brew up any tears, but talk about
it. Yeah, man. So let me cover just one of those areas, which is the financial support. Okay. So depending on the school you go to, now we weren't like, you know, SEC or anything, but we had great support and we were a championship team, which anytime you're winning games, that shifts the culture.
Sure.
So you can be a program that's not winning and have big donors, and they might not, you might not have some of the opportunities that a winning team is going to have. So we had great opportunities. Community was rallying behind us. Financial support was great. We would get money throughout the summer to support, you know, us to go back to school and continue some education. It made it a little bit easier for us to take less credits during the season. When I got finished, so remember, I got done my junior year. So I still had to go my summer leading up to my senior year and my senior year. They honored my scholarship for my senior year, but they cut my summer money because that was optional, discretionary money that they could distribute.
Right.
And I tell you what, that was a big wake up call because I had to go to work. I had to pay my own rent. and I had to support myself. There was no, you know, I wasn't coming around the team at that time because I was trying to, I had an internship. And so I wasn't getting the free meals, the protein shakes. And so I'm like, man, this is a shock to my system. And so what you described is exactly right. When you go from having all this system and structure and support around you as a student athlete, and then you're done and that gets ripped away from you, man, you can feel like the bottom of life just fell from under you. And that's why I encourage people to implement systems and structure back into their life immediately.
Talk through, if you had to say to that young Daryl Stinson that now just signed and is probably going through camp right now at Central Michigan, he had the same aspirations. You get to pull him aside for 15 minutes. What are you saying to him?
Woo! First, I'm going to smack him. Slap him in the chest. Say, wake up, man. Stop hanging your head. There's no reason to be depressed. You might have a bad day, but never allow a bad day to make you feel like you have a bad life. So that's the first thing I would say to him. The second thing I would say is lift up your head. You're going to come through this on the other side. And practically speaking, I would say, look, reach out. And I've seen one of your podcasts and you talked about this. Leverage your network. You are an athlete. You are highly recruited. You are ranked in the nation. You are ranked in your state. Leverage that network. There's people who are willing to help you because they're still fans of you. They've been following you for years. Leverage that. They want to help you. They want to see you succeed. Reach out to them. Let them know you're looking for a job. Let them know you need some encouragement. Let them know your skill set. Let them know your resume. Let them know you need some support, whatever. People are more generous than I think we believe sometimes. And so I would tell them to leverage that network.
Yeah, one challenge I've come across in the work I'm doing is, there was a book that came out of 20 Secrets for NCAA Student Athletes Who Won't Go Pro. And Jared Hirschman, who I've had on the podcast here in the last year, I gave the book to a graduate of the school in our area. He was going to play at the University of Iowa. He's a preferred walk-on, but someone said, why would you give him that book? It makes him look like, is that going to lose his focus in thinking he can't go to the next level? What do you say to that comment when you want to talk to somebody about – talk about your career, but they're thinking, no, well, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to go pro. You know, in that book, it says, you know, going pro is plan B. You know, plan A is your career, your life. What do you say to that?
So no disrespect to that language, but I don't use that plan A, plan B thing. The reason why is because, and this is why my organization is called Second Chance Athletes, because I had so many people come through and speak to us as athletes and tell us the statistics about how unlikely it is for you to play sports. And I did not listen to that advice. And when I started to process, man, why didn't I listen to people? Why did I think that I was going to be the exception to the statistic? What I discovered is that I wouldn't even entertain the dialogue of not going professional, because for me, it was mentally quitting on my dreams.
You weren't alone in the room thinking that, though.
I know I wasn't. Because, you know, we did this exercise. How many people think they're going to go to play in the NFL? Everybody raised their hand. And he said, all right, I want two of you to keep your hands up. I want the rest of you to put your hands down. That's how many are actually going to go. And everybody left there thinking, I'm going to be the two people.
Right.
So, you know, none of us really listened. And maybe some people did, but I know the majority of us didn't. And for me, it was because that was mentally quitting on my dream. So what I tell athletes is I tell them this. Dream as big as you want to dream. How high do you want to go in your career? Pro Bowl, you know, Hall of Fame athlete, whatever. Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, who do you want to be, right? And then I say, now what are you going to do after that? I have them put together a life plan, not a plan A and a plan B.
Sure.
Okay, because if you think about the mindset, the psychology of an athlete all their life, they're trained. You know, you're the best athlete. If you think you're the best, you'll be the best. If you think you're going to win, you're going to win. If we bring it in, we say champions on three, we're going to be champions. So you're telling me to perform that way as an athlete. But when it comes to my, you know, my longevity in this career, you're telling me to have a plan A and plan B? No, I don't go into a game with a plan A and plan B. My game is my plan is to win. So as an athlete, I plan to win the whole thing and go the whole way. Sure. And so I tell people, think of a life plan. And then that way, if it happens sooner than you are expecting, you're prepared for the transition.
Yeah, I guess it's that growth mindset of things could change, things could pivot, your interests could change. But if you feel like that doesn't work out, that you're not going pro, or even that you didn't get that college scholarship, are you prepared for what is next? And that's really what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen, as you're listening to this. You've heard Daryl's story. I've been around sports a long time as an administrator, as a broadcaster. It's something that is truly, I believe, becoming more topical or more of a – it's becoming more prevalent, I think, especially with the advent of club sports, and there might be some empty promises that are provided by different people in your life, but that's something that you indicated, finding some different people in your life that are your advocates.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're watching out for your well-being and not theirs.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why people are starting to pay attention more to the issue of transitioning out of sports, I think it has a lot to do with NFL and the concussions. I think that has stirred up a lot of buzz of, man, there's all these athletes, football players who have had these concussions and, you know, the CTE epidemic and everything that's happening. I forget the movie with Will Smith that came out. Do you know which movie that is? Concussion.
Yep.
Yeah. So that movie came out, and now people are starting to say, man, I didn't know athletes were struggling with these injuries. And then, wait a second, how's the transition going? You know, and so I think that's one of the reasons why it's coming up. And that's helpful because that means more people are going to begin to get it. But, you know, I want, you know, any parent, any administrator out there to just know that this transition is a real hard thing. And never allow the appearance of a former athlete, you know, they may appear happy, but never allow their appearance on their external appearance to make you think that they're okay internally. Just ask the question, how do you feel about your career being over?
Yeah, and you see this in athletics, you see it in acting, you see it in with musicians. You can all think back to somebody who just couldn't go on from it, that has high expectations for it. Well, Daryl, it's been great to talk to you, but you know, we're going 20 minutes right now, and I usually don't like to go over 20 minutes, but it's easy to talk to you. But I want to get into what you're doing now and the success you're having and some lives you've changed. And you've got a book that's going to come out here very soon too.
That's right. I got a book that's called 5 Steps to Discovering Your Identity and Purpose Beyond Sports. That's the subtitle. The title's Life After Sports. I walk former and forgotten athletes through 5 steps to help them really figure out who I am, what am I supposed to do, what's my why, and how do I pursue it until I obtain it. and walk in it. And so this book utilizes my personal story and the principles that I learned in about 5 to 6 years, and it condenses it into this book. And so, you know, that'll be coming out hopefully by the end of this year. You'll see that. I'm finishing the draft now, getting ready to submit it to an editor. So I couldn't be more excited.
I imagine.
My website, I'll start to leak some of the content from the book on secondchanceathletes.com. I haven't done that yet. I've been sharing helpful stuff, but now I'll start to leak some of the content from the book. So you'll be able to pick up bits and pieces on secondchanceathletes.com. So make sure that you go over to my website, check that out. One story of transformation for you, because I don't want to take up too much time because people start to tune you out. But man, I had
not a... Us. They won't do that to us.
No, they won't do that to us. I shared my story about how I went from suicide to success after sports. It was maybe about a 7 to 15 minute video, outlining my low and then my high. There was a woman who watched this video. She said that she watched it while she was at work and she instantly burst into tears. She said, "I started crying because I thought that I was alone. I thought that I was the only one who was struggling with my transition out of sports. So I figured that something was wrong with me. I talked to former athletes from all different levels and nobody ever talked about it. But when I heard your story, I realized I was not alone. And what I want people to know is that you're not alone. Nate, you're in this space. I'm in this space. Joy's in this space. There's Athlete Network. My friend Greg After the Whistle. I think he's in like Australia or something. And so there's people, you might have to do some digging, but Jersey to Job is a starting place. Second Chance Athletes is a starting place. Connect with these people because we get it, right? We're not just going to pat you on the back and say, you'll be all right, you'll make it through this. We're going to say, I understand what it's like. Here's how you can make it through this.
Where can people follow you, Daryl? Where can they find you?
Man, you can find me on all the social media channels. It's either DStinson97, that was my football number, 97, or it's Second Chance Athletes. So just look up Second Chance Athletes or DStinson, and you can find me there. Follow me on all the Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook channels. I'm not on Snapchat, but I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So hit me up.
And Daryl is very active on all that. I follow him across the board. And the one I got to get you to talk about that you're just posting here lately, you're a little skinnier than you were when I talked to you before, aren't you?
Oh, man, absolutely. I've lost, well, I've been telling people 15, but I stepped on the scale today. I've lost 20 pounds.
Wow.
Man, don't get me started. You're going to have to bring me back to talk about health after sports. Because a lot of athletes struggle with that. When your body is used to intense hour-long, hour-and-a-half workouts and you know, pushing yourself to the max, getting slapped across the face.
And then you stop.
Right, and then you stop.
But you keep eating the same, don't you?
Eating the same, and then like me, you have 3 kids, and then you're just, man, you're they wear you out, so you don't even work out anymore.
And I bet when they don't finish their food, you're right there to get it, weren't you?
Oh man, I tore it up, man. And so, you know, the joke is that freshmen put on the freshman 15. Well, man, listen, athletes after sports put on that freshman 15 in like a month. And so, man, I gained, you know, I was at my playing weight. So I got all the way up to 285.
Wow.
And I'm so thankful that thanks to this nutrition system that I'm on, I'm down to 265 now. And I've only been working out once, maybe twice a week. And so, and here's the tip here, is that it's 80% nutrition, 20% physical exercise.
That's it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't. I was like, burn more than you eat. I'll eat whatever I want. I'll burn it off. But man, you could be killing your colons and your livers and all that other stuff. So, man, focus on that nutrition. And so the system I'm using has helped me to live a healthy life after sports.
Yeah. The, little chocolate donuts, like John Belushi had in the old Saturday Night Live skit as his training regimen, that does not work. That wasn't at the training table.
Yeah.
your post athletic training table anyway. Daryl, as always, it's been good to catch up. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, this will not be the last time you hear us together. We're going to figure something out, Daryl, to work together on trying to try and find and help make some incoming and current and former forgotten student athletes have a great career adventure.
Here we go.
All right. Thanks, Daryl.
Thank you.
I feel like I've known Daryl a long time. We only met here in the last year with about an hour-long phone call and some email and some tweets back and forth and Facebook messages, and now get a chance to spend what I told him would probably be about 20 minutes. But all in all, we were on the phone for about an hour, on Zoom connection for about an hour, and you're hearing about 20 to 25 minutes of that conversation with Daryl Stinson. Check out the show notes. We'll put connections to where he's at online at secondchanceathletes.com and also his social media. Find him there and be waiting for his upcoming book that will be released hopefully sooner than later. He said to me, he goes, Nate, you got to keep me accountable. Keep me on this because he's got a lot of big picture things he wants to get into. And offline, we were chatting about some opportunities that maybe we can have to work together to help incoming or current or former and forgotten college student athletes. Thanks again for following on our podcast, Jersey to Job for Life After the Game. Find us on Facebook at Jersey to Job. Follow me on Twitter at Nate Clayburg, and share this podcast and like it in whatever platform you are on. We're going to continue to evolve as we can help college student athletes identify that transition from life after the game. What does that mean for a college student athlete, or even any athlete at the high school, college, or professional level? How can we help you or your daughter or your son or your neighbor or your grandson or granddaughter or that student athlete if you're a coach? How can we help you? Connect with us. Find us on Facebook at Jersey to Job. Message me there. It is a career adventure for everyone, and especially for student athletes looking for where their life is after the game. I'm Nate Clayburgh.